Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM and .com.
Thank you, Ian. 8:09, December 1st, which means it is the official end of hurricane season, or as I call it, few day, P-H-E-W day. Peyton Malone joins us now, WWL Louisiana forecaster. How you doing, Peyton?
Hey, yes, it's over.
Amen. Thank goodness for that. We really have been lucky the last couple of years, have we not?
Yeah, and this year, oh my gosh, we didn't have one hurricane make landfall in the U.S. That hasn't happened since like 2015. So,
how does that compare with the predictions that were made? Because a lot of times, you know, they turn into these fish storms, y'all call them, where they don't affect land, but they still form, so it counts as far as named storms, etc.
Yeah, the overall season ended just by the numbers, just slightly below average for the entire season. We did have some pretty rare occurrences, though, this season. The main thing being there were three Category 5s, and there's only been one other season that's had that many Category 5s, and it was in 2005.
So really?
Yeah, that we had four that year. We had three this year, and so those are the two seasons that feature the most Cat 5s going back, you know, over a century. We did not have any hurricane landfalls in the U.S. We also had Hurricane Melissa. That was the strongest landfalling hurricane on record in the Atlantic Basin. And so it was a really interesting season that we had these mega storms, these big storms, but they were all out to sea.
Anything that caused that?
Well, yeah, it was just the steering pattern. So what happened this summer, and as we were in the peak of the season, was we had this upper-level low kind of park itself and set itself up over the eastern part of the U.S., and what that does is, well, it steers things out to sea. It creates a weaker high pressure, and so these things turn out to sea before they can ever really get close to the United States. So that saved us this year.
Well, let's hope we get one next year. Tell me about this week.
Well, this week's going to be rainy. Oh, my gosh. We've got rain coming in later on this evening and tonight. I don't think we have severe weather or flooding with this round. It'll be mostly light, and it could be steady at times, a little moderate rain, but shouldn't add up too fast. And then tonight it gets cold and windy. Tomorrow's high is like 55, and may even have a freeze on the North Shore Wednesday morning. Then we get another round of rain on Thursday. I think Thursday's rain potential, it could be a little heavier, so we'll watch that. Another round of showers on Friday, and then we'll hopefully start to dry out this weekend.
But cool into the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I don't have anything above the 60s in the forecast. And so, yeah, it's going to be feeling like December. Get you in the spirit.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate it, as always. Thank you, sir. 8:12, we'll take a break, come back, talk with Nancy Landry, Secretary of State, about some changes coming to elections here in Louisiana. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 8:16 now on this chilly Monday morning, December 1st. Nancy Landry, Secretary of State, joins us to talk about some changes coming to the elections in Louisiana in 2026. Good morning, Madam Secretary. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well this morning.
Thanks.
How about you?
I'm okay. Jenna, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. I had a wonderful time with my family in Lafayette.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the changes that are coming with closed primaries. What are those?
All right. We have some significant changes coming up because the legislature and the governor decided to make some significant changes to our elections starting in 2026. We will move some offices to closed party primaries, which we haven't done in a while. And so my office is doing a robust voter education campaign. And today we're announcing that we are rolling out some educational videos on our website. And we want voters to know before they go vote in May. The May 16th election will be the first one, and it will be a closed party primary for certain races only, for U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, the state Supreme Court, PSC, and BSEE. And the most important thing I want voters to remember is to go and check their voter registration to make sure that they're registered as the party that they think they're registered as.
Because there are no more independents, correct?
Right. Independents were most people who were in the independent party thought they were independent or unaffiliated voters. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature moved them into a no party status or unaffiliated status, since most of them already thought they were anyway. And so only Republicans will be able to vote in the Republican primary, and Democrats will only be able to vote in the Democratic primary. But if you're a no party or unaffiliated voter, you can choose which party primary to vote in. And so it's very important that you check your registration at govote.com or on our mobile app and make sure that you are registered with the party that you want to be affiliated with.
So what are the ways, how do you go about checking your voter registration?
You can go to govote.com. That's G-E-A-U-X vote.com. And that you can find information all about the closed party primaries there. Or you can use the GoVote mobile app, which is also G-E-A-U-X, GoVote. It's a great little award-winning app. You can get most information about elections on the app.
What is your biggest concern heading into 2026?
I think that, you know, we just want to make sure every voter is aware of these changes so that they aren't surprised when they get to the polls. And every 4 years, we have a closed party primary with the presidential preference primary. And we always have voters who think they're registered with one party because they've always voted that way. But as it turns out, they never officially changed that registration. So just because you vote a certain way doesn't change your affiliation. You have to officially change it by changing your voter registration officially.
Let me take a quick break, sneak one in for traffic, and then when we come back, I'll get to the questions that are coming in. 504-260-1870. We'll pass them along to Secretary of State Nancy Landry, if in fact it's something within her wheelhouse that she can answer. 504-260-1870. We're talking about closed primaries and about unaffiliated as opposed to independent voters, correct?
Correct.
I got you. Okay.
Everyone, the independent party is no longer. They're all unaffiliated.
Just wanted to get my term straight. That's all. 820 traffic now, WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about some changes coming in 2026 to Louisiana elections, specifically closed primaries and no more independents. There are unaffiliated voters. Somebody texted in and said, I'm at the website. I don't see how to access my voter registration. It's right there in the middle of the page, Nancy Landry, Secretary of State. Unless I'm missing something, it says, are you a voter? And then right underneath it, it says, register to voter, make changes to your registration. That's how you do it, right?
Correct, okay. Yes. And if you want to go straight to the closed party primary page, it's govote.com/ CPP for closed party primary, CPP.
And I'm getting a lot of texts about the politics of this, and you certainly can't speak to that. That was done by the legislature, and that's a conversation, if voters are not happy, that they have to have with their elected representatives, correct, or senators?
Yes, I didn't take a position on the legislation. This was something the legislature decided to do, and we're just trying to implement it with integrity. We did ask for additional time so that we could educate voters about it, and that's what this education campaign is all about. It's to let voters know about these changes that the legislature made.
So somebody texted in, if you're a member of a different party besides Republican, Democrat, or unaffiliated, say Libertarian, you don't get to vote in anything?
You don't get to vote in the closed party primaries. You, of course, get to vote in all the open primaries, and then you will get to vote in the general election in the fall, where the winners of the closed party primaries will appear on the ballot with the Libertarian candidate, the Green candidate, and any unaffiliated candidates. So everybody will be able to vote in that general election.
Did your office, somebody wants to know, have any say in what offices were included in closed primaries or open primaries?
We did not. This was a decision by the legislature, and they're the ones who chose these races. Again, it's just Congress, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, State Supreme Court, PSC, and Bessie. All the other races will still be an open primary race. So voters will have both open and closed on their ballot.
Is there talk of changing it back with the legislature or not?
I have not heard any. I've heard of further changes to it to, you know, change a little bit about who can vote in the primaries, but I have not heard about repealing it. That is not something I'm aware of.
So what about redrawing the districts and the courts, and where does all of that stand as far as the election goes or elections go next year?
So we're still waiting on a decision from the Supreme Court in the congressional redistricting map case, and because it's ongoing litigation, we don't comment on that. That's a policy of our office. But my position has been consistent the whole time that I think it's a racially gerrymandered, unconstitutional map. And so if it's thrown out, the legislature or the court will have to draw a new map. I'm not really sure what the remedy will be, but we'll have to wait and see what the court says.
And we've been talking about elections. None of that's going to happen unless you got people at work at the polls. How difficult or how much of a challenge is it for you to find poll workers?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. We always need poll workers, and you can apply. You can find the application on our website, and you can send that application to your local clerk of court. It's a great way to give back to your community and to serve your community and meet a whole bunch of people in your neighborhood. And it's a lot of fun. It's a long day, but you do get paid, and it's a great way to make a little bit of money before Christmas, usually. We have an election right before Christmas.
And there are often donuts.
Yeah, sometimes people bring donuts.
Sometimes, yes,
it
often.
It's a great job, and we have a lot of elderly people who are starting to retire, and we just don't have the young people stepping forward to fill those positions. So we're really asking people to consider doing it. It's a great way to give back to your community and do your civic obligation.
Thank you.
We could not put on elections without the thousands of people who work as poll commissioners.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Secretary of State Nancy Landry. We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana, about Louisiana schools showing some improvement in their scores, but changes are on the way. We'll discuss when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
June 1st, I tell you, Ian, look, it's going to be a quiet hurricane season. No storms are going to hit the United States at all. Oh, and by the way, before the end of the season, Brian Kelly's going to be fired and Lane Kiffin will be the new LSU coach.
I'd have thought you were smoking something.
That's what I'm saying. So you never know what you're looking for. I'm looking forward to 2026. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, right?
No, nobody knows. We're not Nostradamus. We're not Miss Cleo. So all we can do is just take it in stride.
I've never heard Nostradamus and Miss Cleo used in the same sentence before. But okay, that's interesting. We'll talk to Barry Irwin when we come back, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana, about Louisiana schools showing some improvement in their scores, but changes are on the way. We'll discuss when we return on WWL. It is chilly this morning, and it's going to be all week, really. Not getting out of the 60s, a little rain as well, and really windy and cold tomorrow, so be aware of that. Barry Irwin joins us now, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Hey, good. How's it going?
I'm all right, sir. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving weekend?
It was great. How about you?
I did, yeah. Everything was real good. Glad to get back to work. Tell me about state report cards for Louisiana public schools. What do they show?
Yeah, basically they came out the other day, and, you know, I think it's more of the kind of incremental improvement we've been seeing really over the course of the whole year. Basically, these are letter grades for the schools and districts, and the letter grade for our schools overall stayed the same. It's a B, but the raw number, the kind of score, the numerical score actually went up a couple of points, almost 2 points. And so, you know, that's a positive thing. So as long as we're moving in the right direction, I mean, still got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging to see that we're still, you know, seeing improvement across our schools.
It's a lot of numbers and letters you just gave me. How do you go about determining all of that?
Well, you know, we have a school accountability system that we've talked about before, and, you know, it's in the news periodically, and we use that to do a variety of things. The LEAP tests are a part of that, and we see how our kids are doing on the tests themselves, and then through the accountability system, there's a formula where we take the tests and other factors, attendance, and then different things in high schools, and come up with a letter grade, again, for the districts themselves, for individual schools across the state, and then kind of a letter grade for, you know, all of our schools together for the statewide score. So it's part of our accountability system that really tries to measure student performance in the classroom.
So you got letter grades for what?
For the school districts, for the schools themselves, and, you know, for the state as a whole. So our state score is a B. That's kind of where it's been for the last few years. Mm-hmm. Hope to get better on that. But the score part is moving up. So the raw score is actually improving.
So B as it relates to the parameters that are set by those, yeah, not necessarily compared to other states, right? It's not an index?
No, this is really comparing us to ourselves of how we're doing over time. So if the whole idea was to try and give parents and, you know, citizens an idea like how our schools are performing, and we used to do it with stars, and that didn't work very well. So several years ago, we converted to letter grades because people are, you know, pretty familiar with an A, a B, a C, a D, and all that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's part of the system where we use the scores themselves to kind of assign a letter grade. And, you know, overall, we've got about, you know, a little more than half of our schools, slightly more, are an A or a B, which is really, you know, a pretty good sign. Again, you know, it's kind of relative. We're not where we need to be. We've still got a long way to go. But the idea is it gives us a measure, and we can see if we're making progress or if we're stagnating or going the wrong direction.
I'm a little bit confused as exactly, Barry, what it is that we're proving here. We set the bar. Who set the bar?
It's set by BSEE. We've had this in place really since the early 2000s and that type of thing. We've changed it from time to time. Actually, what we've done is kind of increased the rigor as we've gone along over the last 20-plus years, 25 years or so, to try and increase it. But it's really to try and give parents and all of us, really, an idea of how well our schools are performing. Largely, it's a function of the LEAP scores, particularly for kids in elementary school and middle school. When you get to high school, there's some other factors that are, you know, brought into it, like the ACT, graduation rates, and that type of thing. But it's just kind of a measure that we have developed over the years to try and give us just a snapshot. Not perfect, but a snapshot of kind of where our schools stand.
So are there areas that are doing better than others?
I think, if you look at it, you know, across the board, I mean, I think we saw some basic improvement across the entire state. I think one thing that stood out that we pointed out in New Orleans, and this to me is really a pretty amazing thing if you look back, the school district in New Orleans, that'd be all the charter schools that are all in Orleans Parish, actually moved from a parish-wide grade of C up to a B. That's a pretty remarkable achievement. You know, we just celebrated, or that's probably not the right word, but commemorated the 20th anniversary of Katrina, you know, back in August, early September, all of that, which made all of us, I think, go back and remember how things were in 2005 before Katrina hit. And the schools, as you'll probably recall, were arguably in New Orleans, you know, the lowest performing school district probably in the country, or at least arguably you could say that. And the fact that over that 20-year period, the district has moved from really an FFF to a B grade is a pretty remarkable thing. So, I mean, I think that's a very positive thing that comes out of this. Again, still a long way to go, but I think if you're measuring progress, that's what we want to see.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, people are texting in, did we make the quote test easier? Not that there's a test per se, but I guess did we lower the bar to improve the grade? Or when you mentioned rigor, what type of rigor did we add? How more rigorous did it get? And how accurate of an evaluation is this? We're talking to Barry Irwin, who is the Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana. And I would ask you, if you're listening and you have a child in school, 504-260-1870, what grade would you give the school? 851, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 857, 3 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. No, 3 till 9. Yeah, we don't want to go that quickly, do we, Barry? It'll be Christmas before we know. We keep going like that. Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana. We're talking about changes when it comes to school grades. Let me read from this press release. It says, There's a disconnect since the actual students didn't change just their schools. When you're talking about it, it was 44% of elementary and middle schools earned an A or B score compared with 70% of high schools. New system, which Better Louisiana supported at BSEE, is simpler than the old one, more rigorous in some ways, more straightforward in what it seeks to measure. Explain what that means, will you?
Yeah, basically, we kind of treat our high schools differently than our middle and elementary schools, and that's because we're doing more and kind of have different expectations in high school. So what's happened is we kind of measure those elementary and middle schools in one way, and then in high school we use other things that are factored in. The problem is that over a period of time with the high schools, as we make adjustments and we're trying to incent schools to do different kind of things to help, you know, with dual enrollment, to help them get ready for college or career, trying to incent a lot of different things, we created probably some loopholes in the high school piece, some double counting, some things that actually inflated the high school grades a little bit more than the middle school grades. So if you look at the middle schools, as you kind of just mentioned there, you saw that, you know, about 44% earned about an A or a B score, whereas 70% of the high schools did. Now, these are the same kids we're talking about. They're just going from eighth grade to ninth grade, but the scores go up as we do that. So what we're doing now, you mentioned changing and adding rigor, is in high school, we're changing the system to try and kind of get rid of those loopholes, to try and measure things more transparently and more accurately. And what's going to happen, honestly, is next year, we're under this new system now, but next year when the grades come out, we're probably going to see the high school grades go down because we're adding rigor. We're taking away some loopholes. We're making it more, I think, an accurate measurement of what we're seeing in high school. So that's one of the things that's going on. And I have to say, too, you know, we've been doing this for 25 years. It doesn't stay static. We keep making changes, and that's kind of what we're seeing as we go forward.
Hope you come back, Barry, because there's a lot to talk about here. Obviously, a school is you know, brick and mortar and steel and glass. There's a lot more to it than that, and that's what you're not judging the building. You're judging the students and the teachers. So thank you for your time, Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer, Leaders for a Better Louisiana. We're going to come back, talk to Mr. Manners, get you ready for your etiquette that you need for the holiday season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.